So again, we mentioned this term capital stack. So your capital stack could be your bank institutional financing. You could have a hard money or bridge loan. You might be buying a property that doesn't have sufficient occupancy to get a traditional institutional loan, in which case you might have to go to a hard money lender, take down the property. You might still have to bring in some gap funding from your investors, and then you would do whatever you need to do to get the occupancy up, some kind of repositioning, better marketing, whatever it is. And then once you achieve that occupancy level that an institutional lender would finance, then you could go out and get a refinance loan for that property. So that's what your capital stack is going to look like. So here's a typical joint venture structure. So you have the property. Let's just say you have two members. And member one is going to be its own LLC. So maybe that LLC is you and your syndicate. Or it could just be you. And then member two, that could be just one other person, or it could be a private equity fund. So say you're raising $5 million on a property, you might have a private equity fund that's going to come in for $2.5 million of that, and then your syndicate is going to come in for the other $2.5 million of it. Two of you are going to have a joint venture, that joint venture is going to own the property. And when you have a joint venture, remember, all the members had to be actively involved. And usually, if this was a private equity company, they would have some takeover rights in case your syndicate that brought this deal to them did not perform, in case the property didn't perform. So a pooled investment fund, this would be where you have an investor entity. Your funds are pooled here. You could go out and have a single purpose entity that takes title to a property. So property one has separate investors, or it could all be coming out. You can do it one of two ways. You can either pool all the money here, pool all the profits here, distribute them all from here, so all of your investors share equally in all of these properties, or there's another way we can structure it that's called a segregated fund, where you have separate investors. One PPM will cover what that is, one separate property with separate investors. And then you always have your manager entity, and it too will be an LLC. Tenant in common is where you'd have a property, and then each of the members, so this is kind of like a joint venture, except in a tenant in common relationship, the tenant in common owners actually get deeded title to real estate. This was very common in the past, and it kind of imploded a few years ago because the SEC determined that tenant in common interests were actually securities and needed to be treated the same as a securities offering. Prior to that, they weren't treated like securities. Real estate brokers were selling them, and people were 1031 exchanging them, and there was a lot going on with those. They kind of have fallen by the wayside, but we're starting to see some of them come back again. If you have any investor that needs to do a 1031 exchange, this is probably the model that you're going to have to look at. Now, this TIC owner could be one member that's doing a 1031 exchange, and TIC owner two could be your syndicate. So you can do it that way. If you're going to do it that way, make sure that this TIC owner has sufficient capital to bring to the deal that it's worth it, because it's going to double your legal costs.